Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you with us today. It's kind of exciting around here because we are welcoming back Carol Collins to our microphones, and she's going to be with us for a series of broadcasts over the course of the next 4 weeks or so, and it should be very, very interesting. Carol Collins, as I'm sure many of you know, is what is known as a trance channel. She's also known as the Pittsburgh Medium. She's the original channel of Yeshua, which is a collective of spiritual beings who teach the essential material through her. Now, look, I know there are a lot of people who are listening who may not understand a thing about what I just said. They don't know what a trace channel is. I'm sure they know what a Pittsburgh medium, what a medium is, but they may not know anything about being the original channel of Yeshua or what Yeshua is. There's a lot to be learned in this whole subject, and Carol is going to take the time to fill us in and talk to us about what she does, how she helps people. And, you know, it's very possible that we may have some telephone calls that we will take on this show. There are already people who have known Carol was going to be here and have called in. So with luck, maybe we'll take one or two calls today. And I know that excites a lot of people. But anyway, I can give you a lot more information about Carol. Channelers, which is what Carol is, by the way, have a very unique spiritual ability. The trance state softens the mind in a way that allows the spiritual guide to use their voice in addition to receiving messages and images in the traditional clairvoyant method. Her guide, as Carol puts it, her guide and non-physical teachers that collectively call themselves Yeshua flow in an abundance of information through her. She relies on them fully. They write through her, they teach through her, and they heal through her in ways that are undeniable. And today, Carol offers events, she offers readings, retreats, and classes in a channeled state through the Yeshua Center of Intuitive Studies to clients all over the world. Now, that should really excite you to hear all of that. So, without further ado, let's bring Carol on and talk to her and welcome her back. It's been a while since we've chatted, but Carol Collins is in Pittsburgh, where it's kind of a rainy day. A lot of, you know, there have been a lot of cities here in the U.S. have had a lot of rain lately, so I hope it doesn't rain too heavily up there. But anyway, Carol, welcome back. It's a delight to have you with us. How are you?
Hi, thank you. It's definitely a rainy Thursday. It's been off and on for a couple of days, but early August, hoping it doesn't stay this way for the rest of the summer. It's great to be back, and I appreciate having the opportunity to talk to you and hopefully take some calls at the end of this.
Listen, it's exciting for us to have you back because you are unique, and what you do is very unique. And I learn every time I hear something from you about what it is you do and what makes you different. And as I pointed out, I'm sure there are a lot of people listening, and as you know, we have a massive audience. We're heard all over the country. We're heard around the world. They may not have a clue about what I was just talking about when I referred to you as a trans channel or when we were talking about the Yeshua Collective. So let's begin a little bit for those folks who aren't familiar with you. Take me back a little bit and tell me about your story and how did this all begin for you. How would you answer that? It goes back a while. Go ahead.
It does, but not that far. I'm what the spiritual community calls a spontaneous channel. That simply means that I began suddenly one day. I did not go to school. I was not a metaphysical kind of person. I wasn't looking for this gift. It found me, and it found me rather suddenly, and it found me not quite three and a half years ago. It was March of 2019, and I had begun a path of isolation. You know, ups and downs. Life takes ups and downs, and mine certainly did. And at that point, it was on a down instead of an up. And I kind of withdrew from the world for a while. And I now know why. I was intuitively being guided to slow down, slow my thoughts down, slow my life down, so that this ability would rise to the surface clean and accurate. Otherwise, there would have been a lot of training that would need to take place. So life caused me to self-isolate. But, you know, of course I was out and about and living life, but I was more of a homebody, much more of a homebody than usual. And I began a search, I guess, is what you would call it, for emotional balance. I called it at the time emotional intelligence, but I think emotional balance is the better word for it. And that's how I found meditation, specifically silent meditation, a handful of minutes a day, and I just built it into my day. I now know that I was intuitively guided to stick with meditation, to do it. There is a calming and a soothing that comes over me when that meditation is being done. So the way I do it, I wake up in the morning and I move around a little bit. I get a few little things done. I don't just hop out of bed and meditate. I've got, you know, a to-do list just like everyone. But very early in the morning, I make time for about 10 to 15 minutes. And I just sit and close my eyes, put my hands in a specific mudra position, and it cleans the energy in energy terms. It cleans the auric field in the front half of my body. So there are some listeners that are going to appreciate that. Now, my meditation sessions are short, but I also do longer rounds of energy work on myself and other people throughout the day. So, you know, my day now is strangely different than it used to be. I was an IT program manager for DOD, and that life is behind me now. I'm a full-time professional channel. I like to say conversations with Yeshua, but the world calls it readings. I do readings and energy work every day now. It is my full-time job, and it's good. It's healthy. It's peaceful. It's fun. It invigorates me. It provides exactly, I guess, what it is that I wanted to do with my life. I was into leadership development, and I wanted to bring to the world this different perspective of love your life, become a better leader. When you love your life and your life story, and you understand that your life took twists and turns, and because of it, you become more self-appreciative. And when you do that on your own life, you project that on others as well. And then you just accept people for who they are, and then the true authentic leader comes out in each person. So that's where I was when meditation found me, and then when this ability found me. It was all explained to me very early in my channeled days, you know, in that first 6 months or so. It was explained to me that all these paths that my life had taken were really leading me to what they teach, they being this collective of non-physical teachers. I call them my team, my guide team, or my non-physical best friends. That's my fun term for them. But they teach what they call the essential material, and it's four different subjects. And when you tie them all together, it just makes manifesting a life that's happy and healthy much easier.
Well, that's quite a story. I think you explained it very, very well. When you say you're a channel, you became a channel, that may be, you know, that may throw some people off. They don't know what that means. Explain to me when you say you're a channel. What does that really mean?
It's an ability to connect with people in the non-physical dimension. Some people call it the spirit world. There's a lot of terms for it. I just say I am able to quiet my mind in such a way that I receive clairvoyantly images, voices, sensations, all of those things that are found with traditional mediumship. And then I also have another ability. My guides come through and they soften my mind even further. And then words are spoken out loud that I had not planned to say, that I did not see or hear in my mind's eye ahead of time. And the words flow consistently. And accurately. They, in a channeled state, I just say it's another mediumship ability. You know, you have all of the clairs, and the clairs are, they mimic the five senses. That's just an easy way to put it. Spirit people, if you like that word. I say non-physical dimension or non-physical beings. I'm not so spiritual as I am just an appreciator of the fact of continuity of life. We do live on. People do live on. I connect with people every day, loved ones that have passed on. And to me, it's continuity of life is something that I take as real. And it's hard to explain how much information comes through in a reading or in a private session. But the way that a channel, and I'm not the only one, but there are less of professional people, professional readers, that are accelerated to the channeled ability. Many stay in the clairvoyant realm. Channelers go a step further. It's just an easy way to put it. They borrow my voice is another easy way to put it. And they do the conversation. I feel the air around me get a little thicker, sometimes a little warmer.
Yeah.
And I sometimes feel like there's energy moving around my ears. And then words simply flow. There are a number of famous people who can give channeling a good namesake, I guess is a good way to put it. Esther Hicks is one. And she is someone who is a light, consciously aware channel. She stands on stage, eyes are open, moves about, and her guides, Abraham, speak through her and teach large audiences. Now, there's Edgar Cayce, long ago, almost 100 years ago now. Edgar was in a very deep trance state, laid down, appeared to be sound asleep, but words would flow through him in languages that he was not aware of, that he did not have an ability to speak when he was awake, and information flowed on every topic imaginable. So channeling is an ability, and it is in the world, but there are fewer of us than there are traditional mediums. My abilities are more like Esther's, where I am awake, my eyes are open, I'm able to stand and walk and hear the conversation, but the content is very similar to Edgar's. It's any topic that is presented to them, but there's a combination of thoughts create things, meaning the power of positivity and verbal therapy combined with energy work or chakra work. When you tie those two things together and add on that continuity of life is real and your guide is really with you, and then you also add on that there's an ability to be guided, you tie those four subjects together, and that in itself is the essential material. And it's opened my own mind to, you know, what life is really about and what you can do with the power of your mind and the power of the connection with your own guide. So that's what I do every day, is I open people's awareness to what's coming up for them, how to resolve differences. You know, readings take on a life of their own, and every question is a valid question, because every problem and every crossroads is an opportunity for the Yeshua Collective, but also individual guides of each of my clients to come through and guide verbally. And isn't that handy?
Well, this all sounds really amazing. And what's interesting is, as you put it, when you're doing a reading for someone, it's not you that are talking to them or giving them the answers that they hope to, you know, hear. It's one of the members from the Yeshua Collective who is talking through you to them. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is correct. So traditional clairvoyant medium, just for anyone that's listening and isn't sure of really of what the difference is, when you receive in your mind's eye images, sensations, voices, movement, it could be a movie screen, chalkboard, there's all kinds of activity in the mind's eye. The human being needs to see it and register it, accept it as fact, and then convey what they heard or saw or felt. Mm-hmm. As a channeled person or a channel medium, I do have that activity, but it slows down in favor of the verbal conversation. So it is like having a sit-down conversation with someone who's very wise about your life and about what's coming up, and it's accuracy, pinpointed accuracy that comes through. But you are correct. It is. I don't have awareness of what the conversation would be. As a traditional medium, I would hear it, and then I would repeat what I heard. In this case, as a channel, I don't hear it first or repeat it. It flows, and I hear it for the first time, the same time my client does.
And it's your voice, whoever's speaking
it is
through
my
you,
own voice.
It's trying to change. It's your voice, your normal voice.
It's
right?
My voice, but
okay.
In my clairvoyant abilities, I do hear men and women differently. You know, I just like to point out that everybody's abilities progress. The more silent meditation you do in small amounts, day by day by day, it's a constant life journey of increasing your abilities.
Well, what you do is pretty amazing, and I know one of the main thing is, and this is what brings people to you, they want a reading. They want a prediction or some sort of information, I presume, on what lies ahead for them, whether it's involving, you know, a relationship, a love person, could be a job, whatever. Everybody has questions about what may happen with them in the future. And that is what you do a lot. I mean, that's the main thing as a medium. You're communicating through the Yeshua Collective and answering their questions. So tell me what a session is with you is like. When someone comes in, and by the way, I mean, since COVID, you know, everything has been kind of on Zoom, et cetera, not in person the way it would have been normally. How do you do it now? Is it on the telephone, Zoom, primarily how?
I typically do my private sessions over the phone. I also do them in person, but generally over the phone. It's kind of hard to have a conversation with someone who's halfway across the world and make it financially feasible for either end. And I do have clients all over the world. I've got quite a following in New Zealand and Australia, which is fun for me. Now, a channeled session or a private session it's like a conversation. I say they're the best therapists in the world. And if you can picture having a conversation as you and I are right now, it's my introduction. I say hello. I don't take too much time, though, because it is an enormous amount of information that is prepared ahead of time. When someone makes an appointment or even has a thought, this is a reading that I want to have on this subject, and they make the conscious decision to make an appointment, then the guides get to work on putting together information based on the amount of time that they have allowed. So I do sessions that are in 30-minute increments. And when someone does 30 or 60, the information is prepared for that amount of time. So I do a very brief introduction, and I take a nice, easy breath, and then I feel the air kind of change around my neck, my jaw, and the lower half of my face. And then Yeshua, or the person's guide, they always introduce themselves, but they introduce themselves, and they just begin speaking. And then the conversation flows back and forth. And most of my clients understand what a channeled reading is, and they direct their questions to Yeshua or their guide or their loved one, depending on, you know, what the situation is. And that just makes me just so appreciative of the world and their gradual appreciation for what channeled readings can be like. There's so much information that comes through, and it is structured guidance. Is the way they provide information. It's, you know, it's the why and the why not. So it is predictions, but there's so many people that are still trying to figure out the past. And there are people that want to know about past lives and if they are affecting them in this life. There's people that are talking about decisions in the here and now, as well as what's coming up for me, or I'm thinking about making this decision, how will it turn out for me? So it really is past, present, and future that is being talked about in almost every reading. And sometimes, when it's warranted, there are specific actionable steps that are given, and the time frame for each one, and then the outcome, if some, none, or all are implemented. It gives you a
And have you prepared them in advance
for
someone who that you're about to do a reading for? You may not know much about what they want, but you said they're prepared. Just you know, they're prepared for a reading. I just wondered, you know, do you prepare them? Do you give them some information about who's coming, what they want to know, and go from there, or not?
No, I very rarely do I have anyone that tells me the topic of their question ahead of time. Every once in a while, they'll put in the comments that they're trying to bring through a loved one, and that's nice. But no, I don't prepare myself other than quiet my mind and make sure that I do my daily meditation. But when a person schedules or makes an appointment, and let's say they make an appointment with, you know, a week ahead of time, a month ahead of time, could be an hour ahead of time, but their guide team and my guide team prepare an answer that is equivalent to the length of their appointment. So if you make a 30-minute appointment, there's not 60 minutes worth of information that's ready for you and you miss out on it. Now, you get 30 minutes because they know what's going to happen. And if someone extends, then they continue the conversation. There's always more, and there's always more, and there's always more. But for myself, I rarely have any indication of what the question is or what the questions are going to be. And I guess that's kind of an interesting side note. You know, it's like fielding questions when you have no identified topic.
Exactly. Well, I find this really, truly amazing, and it's amazing that you're able to do this and talk to us. Now, you know, I told you there were some folks who had called in who hopefully wanted to talk to you. Seriously, would you like to take a phone call and see what happens? Let's let the audience hear what happens when you talk to someone, you know, like you.
Absolutely.
You don't know anything about who's called. I have no idea who's out there. But let's take a shot. Let's see. All right, we brought on a guest. Can you, hi there, can you tell me your name, please, and where you're calling from? Not just first name, and what state are you in? Are you
I'm
there?
I'm in Florida, and my first name is Eileen.
Eileen, you're on the line with Carol Collins. Go ahead and talk to her. Ask her your question. Let's see what happens.
Hi, Carol. I'm very much in tune to Yeshua, and I know that we create our own reality, and my question is, as a full-time professional painter for over 60 years, why did I trip when I was walking in my little town very gently, and I tripped and I fell on my right palm, I fell in a way that there's four little fractures in my wrist, and I'm sitting here painting with my left hand, I'm learning how to paint with my left hand, I'm learning how to do things with my left hand, but my question is, why did I fall? What do they want me to slow down enough for? Because I, like you, I channel different ways.
Right.
So am I
right.
being guided to do a different purpose with my life? Because I've been doing this, healing people with the colors and my themes for over 50 years.
What I want to say is thank you for the question and allow me to just take a breath. And then I believe Antioch is going to come through. Antioch is one being who is one of the teachers of unfoldment, but also does a lot of healing work on people and talks a lot about the energy body. So let's find out what's going on there. Just a moment. Antioch. I like that. Antioch. Some people say Antioch. I know that there is an Antioch. I am not that being. Now, I want to say to you, you've got a lot of things going on. Art is not just a passion. It is something that you found that you were talented in. Now, why that talent came to be is a whole different story. It was not built in for you to become an artist, but it was built in for you to have very good eye-hand coordination, and you could have done almost anything with it. So you found art, or it found you. Now, the right hand, the dominant hand, you do not dominate conversations enough. And so the right hand is weaker. And so you will always have more tenderness. But you're also a sensitive being. So we want you to be able to draw a line right down the center of your body.
and identify the left half from the right half. And if you do, and you close your eyes gently, you, this is not for everyone, this is a specific reading for her, you will feel colors shift from the left and the right. It's like the colors of the rainbow will divide. When you do that, paint it. And then meditate. For you, it's about 6 or 7 minutes. Silent meditation, but with a tapping, a clock or raindrops, something like that. You do need a little bit of sound therapy at the same time. A month of that. And then do that activity again. Close your eyes, breathe softly. Draw a line in your mind's eye straight down your body so you have left half and right half, and you'll see the colors of the rainbow shift differently. What you're wanting to create is an even shift or a split of the rainbow altogether so that you've got more on the left and on the right is what happens now. The emotional side of you is the right side. And when you are not dominant enough for what you built into life and you're also a sensitive being, some people call it feminine aspects. We would agree. The feminine aspects of you are present, but not strong enough in the right ways. And so some things on the right-hand side have become weak. The left-hand side is the thinking side, the capacity to understand and implement. There's overbearing that's not balanced with the ability to speak your mind. So you tend to think about things but don't say them. You have a thought but you don't think it's kind, so you refrain from saying it. You should journal much more, my dear. Journal much more and get those thoughts out on paper, because those thoughts are registering within what we call the grid. And some people do know when we're talking about the grid, it's the mesh. There are layers of mesh over your physical body. It is what the outer body or the energy body is made of. And the first three layers are the most important to this lifetime. Your in-between layer, the one that's sandwiched in between, we just say grid two, is very clogged. So if you have energy work, have them focus on grid two, which means they have to lightly touch the skin, not hover over it and not press hard. Lightly touch the skin, but you can do the same thing. Now for you, you have energy blocks all along the left-hand side of your neck, on top of your left shoulder, and all the way down halfway to your elbow. So if you have free time, taking your two hands, rub them together, fingers closed, almost like prayer hands, rub them together until you feel heat, and then cup them like you're holding a snowball. And then ask for that energy. It is an orb-like energy that's created in between the hands. The vortex of the hands open up. And then ask for that energy to soothe what is going on the neck first. Always start at the top and then work your way down. Crown to foot, if that's the way you want to remember it. Start at the neck and work your way down, and then just sit there. And for you, it's probably about 5 minutes at a time at the minimum so that your guide can soothe that inner grid. Now, the reason that you fell on your hand is simply because the emotional part of you is...
Carol.
Yes?
I hate to interrupt.
Oh, here
you.
I am.
But we're running out of time. I didn't realize this could go on like this. This could be a pretty lengthy reading.
Let me
ask you, did that help you all, to the lady in Florida who called in? Did that make sense to you?
I'm going to record the session and use it. Definitely, Carol, you have blessed me in a bigger way than I could do it myself. So thank you, Antioch.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you
I appreciate
for
that.
Giving me all that. I'm getting goosebumps all over my body right now, chills.
Don't overlook clairsentience. It's always from your guide or from Yeshua.
No, I'm very clairsentient. I'm clairaudient also. So now I'm...
Beautiful.
All right. Listen, Carol, we're out of time. I just want to point out Carol Collins' website is thepittsburghmedium.com. Thepittsburghmedium.com. Go there. Carol's coming back next week. We'll talk about her books that are forthcoming and a lot of other things in this whole field. She's so fascinating, and that was very interesting indeed, Carol. It was an experiment, but it worked. You okay with that? Everything okay?
Always does.
Always does. Listen, it's been great having you, obviously. I'm Doug Llewellyn. It's been great having you, and thank you so much for being with us. Bye, everybody. We are out of time.